You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere. Here are your hosts, Richard Justice and Allison Footer.
This is MLB.com Extras, the San Francisco Giants. I'm Richard Justice of MLB.com. I'm joined by my co-worker, Allison Footer of MLB.com. Soon we will be joined by Chris Half, who covers the Giants for our little enterprise. Allison, I look at the Giants, and you know what? I think after all that's happened to them, injuries and looking for trying to fill holes, they have coming off. They've had a good start the last week, and they look up down south, and the Dodgers have a couple of holes. I think they're probably feeling pretty good about things. What do you think?
I think so. They've always, and we've talked about this many times, they've always been a cohesive unit, and I think that maybe in some situations people can win divisions not because of who has the best team, but who has not the worst team, if that makes any sense. So everyone has holes that they're trying to plug in, and I think the Giants did an okay job in trying to compensate for some of the bigger losses. Of course, second base is still sort of an enigma. But we'll get to that in a minute. Let's bring in the MLB.com's Chris Half, who covers the Giants very well for our website. Chris, thanks for joining us. Let's talk a little bit about what's going on with the team. There's like an all-hands-on-deck sort of attitude. It seems like whatever lineup Bruce Bochy puts out there, everybody conforms and accepts it and accepts their role. Whether it's Pence hitting leadoff or a little bit down in the lineup, and how is that all shaking out as they go into the stretch run?
Well, you know, what you guys were saying was absolutely on the ball. You know, they're more upbeat than negative by far. They just got through taking 3 out of 4 from the Mets. Let's face it, the Mets aren't they may not be an elite team in the National League, but this 3 out of 4 wins is 3 wins in a 4-game series is tough to achieve against any major league team, and plus of being on the road, although the Giants seem to do a little better on the road. I mean, that's proven on paper. Sometimes I wonder if they just have too many distractions at home with the, those sellout crowds all the time and, the obligations they have to perform. But that's maybe another subject. But as you said, Allison, what holes they do have, they filled them adequately, not great, but adequately. And, they just got Brandon Belt back at first base, and they're going to get Angel Pagan back soon and in center field and at the leadoff spot. And that could be a big boost for them.
You know, Chris, it's amazing how important Angel Pagan appears to have been to that club. I think I looked up, they were 36-21 with him in the starting lineup. So, as you said, Pagan back, Belt back. They, unlike the Dodgers, the Giants know who their starting rotation is going to be down the stretch if they keep everybody healthy. So, I mean, there has to be a sense of, as you said, optimism that it's all going to work out. I mean, they've had to persevere, but they have done it.
Persevere is a good word there, Richard. Yeah, they got swept by the Dodgers at home, and of course that upset them, but it didn't crush them. Nothing crushes them. Nothing really elates them, unless it's winning a playoff series, which I've seen them do quite a few times in the last few years. But that's part of their I think what sustains them through the long haul, and part of Bruce Bochy's hallmark as a solid manager. He fosters that attitude in the clubhouse.
So let's talk about second base a little bit. I find this fascinating. There have been 7 players that have started there this year. The Dan Uggla experiment lasted, I don't know how many hours, but it was here and gone faster than you can blink. So what's their plan there, and how are things shaking out at second base?
Right now they're using a pair of rookies there, Joe Panic. Please, no puns about the last name. And Matt Duffy, Panic bats left-handed, Duffy bats right-handed, and so Bruce is mostly platooning. He dropped hints yesterday that he was going to give Duffy more of a chance, and then after Duffy went 0-for-5 yesterday, Panic was back in there today and got 3 hits, actually. So that's what they're doing right now. Good and well, after failing to get a second baseman at the trade deadline, General Manager Brian Sabian will be looking real hard at the waiver wire every day, see who maybe he can claim.
Chris, you know, when Allison and I talk ball, she always says to me, what's so special about Brian Sabian? And I say, and I say, Gregor Blanco. And isn't it true, this guy, he was with Atlanta, the Royals. I think he's been through a couple of teams. Nobody blinked an eye when the Giants signed this guy before the 2012 season. I don't think he was even supposed to make the team in spring training. And suddenly, out of, they found a guy who can play defense. He can run some in the outfield. He can fill in everywhere. I mean, he's sort of become a Bochy, a valuable piece, right? A guy that can just be used here and there.
That's true. And today is a good example. He and Juan Lagares of the Mets, who's a fine defensive player, by the way, took turns throwing each other out on the bases. That was kind of something to behold. But Gregor, you know, you look at his stats, you're not impressed. But it seems like, you know, in a lot of these games they win, he does something to contribute, whether it's score a big run, get a big hit. You know, again, I don't know if you'd say the whole is greater than some of its parts, but again, you look at the stat sheet, it does not reflect his value. But to answer the Brian Sabian question, maybe a little more succinctly, although I'm not being very succinct. It's funny, we're just sitting around talking about some of the trades he's made, and rarely do the players they give up come back to, you know, go on to stardom. There's that famous white flag trade you guys may remember, what, 97 or something?
Right.
They gave up four, five, six players to the White Sox. They gave up. Only one ended up being a really, really big star, and that was Keith Polk. And some of the other trades they've made since then, again, same thing. That the players they give up, I don't think he's fleecing the other team, but they're doing some pretty good self-scouting to know, you know, that, okay, we're not going to give up this guy because he can be more value to us than in a trade. But I do think they self-scout very well so that they know who to trade.
Okay, I need to ask you, Chris, because you're one of our more level-headed, pragmatic reporters. So I'm curious. Instant replay, what do you think of it as far as, I've heard some grumbling, but it's sort of turned things a little hokey when it comes to the manager will come out, he turns to his bench, he waits for the thumbs up, thumb down while the video guys look at it. And you know, in general, people have been around the game a while think that that is an unnecessary element to this whole thing. What do you think as far as just overall on instant replay and that specifically?
You know, it's kind of funny, Allison. I consider myself kind of a purist. You know, day games, games on grass, all that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But I haven't been bothered by the replay, by the delays or by the interruptions of the flow or the action or whatever. Maybe it's just the games I see. I know the Giants have had some instances, have had some instances where there are big plays late, but a lot of times it seems like these things happen early in the game when it's not that they're inconsequential, but the flow of the game maybe hasn't really been established, I guess. So this is something I thought I'd be bothered by, but I haven't been. If that makes any sense.
Yeah, it does make sense. I think the intent is, obviously we know this, but the intent is to get the calls right. But it just seems like maybe you could do the same. I mean, you'd have to use a little more strategy. I mean, that's part of the kind of the fun of it is if you can't really check with somebody to see if you should be challenging or not. I mean, you either have to make a decision that you're challenging or you're not. And then it goes on from there. So I don't know. I think people are thinking that maybe this is delaying the games too much. And I'm not sure that there's any more delay time than there used to be with the arguments. So the whole turning the manager thing, which is what they were talking about, that they called it that during spring training. It does seem like it sort of defeats the purpose. I mean, you just make a decision. You're the manager of a team. You should know whether you want to challenge it or not.
Yeah. The way the Giants do it is they've got, and I think this might probably is the way most teams do it, they've got Giants have Sean Gunston watching the game through a special feed. Or he'll see the videos from a special feed when something's disputed, or replays, that is. And if the Giants want to, if the Giants think a call is worthy of being reviewed, they get on this hotline to Sean, and Sean will say yes or no, and then Ron Mortis, the bench coach, will give Bochy a thumbs up or thumbs down while Bochy is out there stalling for time with the umps. It goes pretty quickly. I know that it's much more quickly than it took me to describe it. And and Bruce, being, you know, maybe I'm sucking up to him a little bit, but, you know, he seems fairly astute, you know, and just the ways of the game. He knows what he should challenge, and like you said, he knows what he should challenge and what he shouldn't. So with the particular team I cover, it hasn't been that big an issue.
Chris, the Giants have very quietly, or I should say smoothly, switched closers from Sergio Romo to Santiago Casilla. How is that working out? Just from the numbers, it looks great. And how is Romo with this new role?
Romo's fine with his new role. He's been actually pitching very well lately. Actually, the whole bullpen has been pitching very well lately. They had a couple of hiccups, but for the most part, they've been, frankly, a lot better than I thought they'd be. They don't have the power arms that a St. Louis bullpen has, or the Dodgers, whatever. They're mostly strike throwers. Not to say that they're they just slop it up there. You know, I mean, they are capable of throwing fairly hard. They just don't come in throwing, 98, 99, 100 or whatever. But they're around the plate. And like I say, lately Sergio's been he's been pitching like he wants his closer role back. And who knows if that'll happen over the course of what's left of the rest of the season. And Casilla, I believe, has been fouling, blowing a save opportunity since he's been given the role.
One last question for me, Chris. The Giants and the Dodgers play six more times. Do you have a feeling, if I counted correctly, do you have a feeling that, and do you think the Giants have a feeling, that right now, today, they're better than the Dodgers and they're going to pass the Dodgers? Or is it just, hey, we're in this for a fight and we'll figure out who's ahead on the last day of the season? What do you think the mentality is about us versus them?
Oh, they feel like they can pass the Dodgers. They've done it before. It's very simple. They've done it before, so they feel they can do it again. And especially when they get Angel back and Brandon Belt has his swing fully honed. They think they can be a force.
All right, Chris Half of MLB.com joining us. Thank you so much, Chris. Great as always.